Psalm 128, please. Psalm 128, if you would. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Psalm 128, please. All right, Psalm 128, would you stand with me, please, as these gentlemen pass out those notes? You're welcome to take notes, not take notes, I don't care what you do. All right, Psalm 128. The King James says this: "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." All of those S are just S's. Everyone that fears and everyone that walks in his way. He goes on to say, "For thou," we switch then from third person, speaking about them out there, to speaking to you. "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Behold, so it's kind of like verse 4 is the fulcrum, it's the center of the text. He says, stop, look, think, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yes, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Which there's no and. It could, and we'll talk about that. By the way, everybody, let me say this before we go any further. It'll be in the notes. If you read the King James, the latter half of this are more or less promises. This is what God's going to do. If you read the ESV, they're more or less prayers. May this happen. Here's the problem. Hebrew is exactly the same for both. You have to make a choice. Is this a promise or is this a prayer? Are those that distinct? And no, we're not having a discussion of Hebrew grammar. But don't get nervous when you read the two. That's the only difference is there is no difference. They can be translated as either promises or as prayer wishes. I'll mention that in the sermon so you'll see slight differences. There's also a slight difference between one of the words for blessed, but we'll talk about that as we look. I'm going to talk about the blessings of the journey tonight. This is by far the most positive psalm. Almost without a fault, everything here is positive, positive, positive. Next Sunday night, not positive, positive, positive. Talking about afflictions you've had all your life. People persecuting you. They have plowed furrows on your back. So Psalm 128 and 129 have to go together to kind of give you a balancing act of what the journey's like. Tonight, we'll just talk about the blessings. Father, thank you. This is a beautiful text. It's meant to be beautiful. It's meant to encourage us on the journey. It's meant to show us in the big picture, over a lifetime, and frankly, over the generations. We start to see gradually the goodness and the beauty and the blessedness of people who follow the Lord. Not that we're richer, not that we're smarter, not that we have more power. No, we just have lives that you can see the evident goodness of God in our lives. And Father, tonight, maybe some folks here are first-generation Christians, and they're still hacking through the jungle of all the stuff they came from. This doesn't all happen today. Sometimes it takes two or three generations. But for sure, the goodness and blessings that you give upon us are part of the benefits, are the blessings of the journey. the Jewish people were taking to Jerusalem and we're taking to the heavenly Jerusalem right now in the new Jerusalem in the future. Thank you for this time. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I have in your notes, you can see, who goes on the journey and why do they go? Friends, the moment you mention a journey, it's like a vacation. Why do you go? Why did you, look at me, why did you go there? Who did you go there with? And by the way, the reasons you go far and who you go with really make up the journey. So my wife and I had the privilege of going to Peru this summer, or at least one small area. We went to the center of the ancient Inca culture, Cusco and its environment. We got to see some absolutely fabulous places. By the way, places you dream of, Machu Picchu. And frankly, we saw places that are, in my way of thinking, better than Machu Picchu, but not as famous. Machu Picchu is the number one tourist destination in the country of Peru. All around it, stuff just as fascinating. We also got to go to Ollantaytambo, which is fabulous. We got to go to Pitsac, Tipon. We got to go to Rainbow Mountain, or at least I think we made it to Rainbow Mountain. We almost killed two horses. At least the two I was riding almost died. We got to go to Lake Umantai, and we were both dead by that period of time. We got to go to the rope bridge. We got to go to wonderful places, but hear me. You know, just as beautiful as the places we went are the people you meet. Now, I have been there twice because John took me there the previous year. The previous year when John and I went, John took off on a four-day hike, and I was not going to camp out. I want everybody to be clear. I'm not old, but I'm too old for camping out. Can I have an amen? Amen? Camping out to me is this, folks. I can walk all day, get sweaty, dirty. I like that. But at the end of the night, I'm coming home to air conditioning and a shower and a bed. But John goes off on a four-day hike. He takes the hike. You say, how did you get to Machu Picchu? The bus. Thank you very much. But during one of those days, I went to see that rope bridge that some of you have seen me. I still remember. By the way, these are not just the places, which is interesting, people. I get on the bus. It's a bus. There's probably 20, 25 people on the bus. It's kind of like the size we have back here, similar. How many can go on that bus? 15. I think there they make them more, but I think it's 20 or 25. I get on the bus, and I'm looking at everybody, because you know what you're looking for when you're by yourself. Is there anybody here who can speak English? I get on the bus. Everybody that I see looks like no. The woman gets on the bus. She talks in Spanish. Not a problem. I could understand what she was saying. It wasn't real deep Spanish. We have a great time. We head out. We do lunch. We do a few things. Somewhere in there, she says, in perfect English, she says, I'm lying, by the way. Her English was perfect, but it was memorized. So if you said anything else, she had no idea what you were saying. But she asked, how many of you don't understand Spanish? And right in front of me, two people raised their hand. I looked at them and thought, why don't you speak Spanish? Then they spoke. On the other side of the world, I meet two Pinoy. Right in front of me. I'm like, what? So for the rest of the day, out and back in two different meals, I talked to this couple, this young couple that's taking this tour all over the place, and had a wonderful time. This year, Jenny and I went to a bunch of tours together, which, you know, she speaks English, and we can talk to each other. But it's nice meeting people. On one trip, we met a wonderful couple. We met three couples that I remember. You might remember more. We met a young couple from Guatemala City, the city in Guatemala, and had a wonderful conversation with them. On another trip, we met a couple from Argentina that could speak English, had been in the Merchant Marine. By the way, guys, he'd been every place. Merchant Marine from Argentina. Met a third couple. She was a PhD in linguistics in sign language linguistics. And for all of you that know the name, which is probably going to be one person maybe, And she had studied at least a semester under Noam Chomsky. No lights are coming on. By the way, Noam Chomsky is the greatest linguist alive and totally insane. He is the greatest God-hating, America-hating, Jewish-hating, and he is Jewish. We just had wonderful times with people. So the journey, who goes on this journey? And here's the other question. Why do you go? That's really the psalm. Well, you go because you want to, if you go to a place like Peru, you want to be able to see everything, and you also go for what reason? You go to be with people. In my case, Jenny, but also we met lots of nice couples here and there to have conversation with about where they were from and what they have done. That's the point. In your notes, who goes on the journey and why do they go? The psalm begins with something that is common in the Old Testament, but not common in the New. It says, blessed is everyone, and then it describes a believer in the Old Testament two different ways. One that feareth the Lord, or fears the Lord, and one that walks in his ways. By the way, that's a pretty good description. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. You have a similar thing with the exception of the word fear. We don't use that much. Everybody look at me. We don't use that much in the New Testament. Very rare. I'd say a handful of times believers are said they. That's an Old Testament way. New Testament, it's you believe, you follow, you trust Christ, you're justified, all of those. Old Testament generally talks about a believer as one that fears God or fears the Lord. I have a question. When I was a young man, and actually I only hear this now from unsaved people, did you ever hear people said he is a God-fearing man? That's not a term we use much anymore. A God-fearing man. Actually, Phil Scott uses that term. He would call someone like me a God-fearing man, meaning there's a piece of me that's afraid of disobeying God, kind of his idea. It's not bad. Well, in the notes, verse 4 says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that, what? Fears the Lord. And you have this, I just give you a smattering of verses. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? This whole psalm is revolving around those that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. So the people that go on the journey, so to speak, whether it's literally to Jerusalem or it's to the new heavenly Jerusalem in future to the heavenly Jerusalem, they're people who fear God. Psalm 112, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 115, verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. I say in your notes, we used to call, and maybe some people still do, this individual a God-fearing man or woman. That I don't hear it much and read it much anymore. I think we don't like the word fear. Can I say this? We're afraid of the word fear. Don't you think? That's something bad. By the way, I think we read a verse that we need to reread. There's a line here, friends, that's very powerful. Would you look again at verse 112, Psalm 112, verse 1? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. It's describing that man two ways. One that fears the Lord and one that what? Delighteth greatly in his commandments. I don't think delighting in the Lord and fearing the Lord are opposing tendencies. But in modern culture, to say something about fear, we get afraid. In your notes, fear, and I've read this in many forms, there are two different, how would you say, pulls to the concept of fearing God. There's drawing near to your Savior, but at the same time, because of who your Savior is, he is God, there's shrinking back also. So it's almost like you draw near, but at the same time, you know, you get the appropriateness of fear. That's the concept. Drawing near, shrinking back. So what are the benefits in this beautiful text? Well, first of all, The text says we're happy in life. We'll talk about two different Hebrew words. They are important in this text. It begins with the word asheri, blessed. That particular Hebrew word means it has two different angles. It can mean what God does for you. It can also mean the other side, which means oftentimes happiness. It's found in the first two verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. It could also say happy is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy, but that's the same word, friends. It's in a different form, but it's the same word, asheri. Happy shall thou be. So one of the blessings of following the Lord, going on the journey to Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, or in the far future, the new Jerusalem, which we're all in that journey, we basically, broadly, are happy in life. Psalm 28, verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. The psalmist uses two words to describe believers in this psalm. Here he uses the word asher or asheri. And that word has two different sides. I've already stated this. It means blessed in some cases. And blessed means this: what God does for us. What God does for us. So Ralph Warren tonight, not because of me, but because of Christ, one sense, God has blessed me. That's objective. That's what God has done for me. I am a blessed man, a sherry. Hey, but just like the New Testament, the Greek word is the same for blessed. I like this. But it has the other meaning too, and sometimes it's hard to know which it is. And maybe it means both. I tend to think many times it's both. But it also means happy. Happiness is this in your notes. It is our subjective experience of those blessings. So if you look at a person and you say, that is a blessed individual, God has richly blessed him, that's objectively God blesses them. But on the other side, their experience of those blessings are not he happy. They're a happy person. They have a happy life, a life that experiences God's blessings, which produces great joy and happiness in life. Both words mean basically the same. I like the word in this text for happiness. Psalm 128 deals with our experiences of following the Lord. First of all, happiness in our labor, our work. He says very clearly in verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. There's something very beautiful, and you say, that doesn't make me excited. Friends, you get to work, and you get to enjoy the fruits of your work. That is one of God's blessings, to be not only a blessing upon us objectively, but subjectively, we experience God's blessing. Secondly, happiness in our personal life. That's found in 2b. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well. Tov is just a Hebrew word for good, that sort of concept. The King James translates it well. I mean, it's just, we look at a person and we say, wow, God has blessed them. Look at they are happy in their personal life. They are happy with their work. They are enjoying it. They are blessed by it. It's God's blessing upon them. And their experience of enjoying what God has given them in all of life. But in the first verse, their work or labor and their personal life. And of course, it's both being happy and the goodness of God. That tov is a very great word, T-O-V in English. It just means good or well, or it's broader than that. Sometimes it could be something beautiful, something good. God brings goodness into our life. Next, happiness, according to the text, in general, in our marriage. In our marriage. It says in verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. I could talk about the sides of thine house, but that we would get lost in details. Simply this, friend, God blesses us and we find great happiness in our labor, our work. We find great happiness in our personal lives. We find great happiness in our marital relationships. And thirdly, we find great happiness in our family. Psalm 128, verse 3, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Now, everyone look at me. Can I confess my, how would you, I never confess my wife's sins, do I? Well, except her smoking. I do, and by the way, I got to put that picture up here someday so everybody gets to see it. Do you know why she wants to go to Culver's? It isn't because of Culver's. Anybody? No. Not tonight. Because somebody flew in town and is supposed to go up to the viewing, and she's hoping they show up at Culver's. Anybody? You're looking around. My son, our son. She wants to see John. She doesn't want to go there with me. By the way, can I say this? She likes John. You say, do you like John? Most of the time. Do you like Amy? Some of the time. Can I say this to all of you? Is it not the blessings of life, your marriage? Look at me, friends. Think about how simple this is. Your work, your personal life, your marriage, and your what? Your family. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not wealthy. Last night I was reading an article about somebody, and they literally said this. I'm reading this, and I'm just about to spit. I'm like, they said, they have a house here. They had two apartments here. They had another house here. And I'm like, how do you live in all those houses? What do? Just kind of travel around? I mean, I'm going to be happy because I have stuff. Here's where God says, the blessings of God blesses us, and this is what you ought to look for. A person becomes very happy with what they're doing, their work. They're happy in their personal life. They're happy in their relationship and marriage, and they're happy with their family, and the blessing of God pours out on you. That's pretty happy. So, is my wife want to go have fellowship with you tonight? Look at me, everybody, a little bit. But she's hoping John shows up. Because why? She likes him. You say, does she like him more than you, Pastor? Do you really need to ask that question? Of course she does. That's a given. In your notes. You understand the four? It's just God blesses us and we experience happiness. Labor, work, personal life, marital relationship, family. Why go on the journey? Can I say it in a nutshell? It's both good and it's happiness. And that's the reason we go on the journey. Then I ask a question. Well, Pastor, isn't this just too much? Maybe a little over the top? Are you always happy, happy, happy? Everyone look at me. I am broadly happy all the time with what I do. How about you? Look at me, everybody. And if you're not, you live in America. Get a different job. You can do anything you want to, just about. Friends, I love what I do. I have a good personal life, marriage, and family, and not just my kids, but them, by the way. When I come to school every day, there's people I want to see. Anybody know who those people are? Well, Evan I don't have a problem with because he's going to see me. Because I'll start hearing it. Sounds like this. Sounds just like this. And you're like, what? First time I heard it, it was like this. And then the door opened up and there was Evan. Now every time I know when I hear the scratching, it's Evan. He comes and sees me. Now Jesse, he's a little bit sophisticated. But Jesse has learned it's cool to be Pastor Warren's grandson. There's benefits from that. So now when he sees me, it's like, oh, Jesse, come on. When I call Jesse at his house, he doesn't even talk to me. But when he's here, he wants everybody to notice, I know Pastor Warren. Well, he calls me something else. Bumpa. I say in your notes, and to me, I can't say anything better than this statement. God blesses our journey of fear and obedience. And we live in general, not every detail, not every day, a happy life. Last night, I did something. You can go ahead and turn the page. Last night, I did something. If I'd have thought about it before I got here, I would have had somebody do it. I did something last night. I looked up an obituary. Her name is Opal. For you if you're not from America, you won't get this. Opal, is that a new name or an old name? That's from a certain era. I had a great aunt Opal. I did not even know. I looked up the obituary for Opal Varbal. You say, who's Opal Varbal? Well, first of all, I didn't know her name was Opal. Because we didn't call her Opal because that would have been deaf. Opal Varbal was my pastor's wife as a kid. She was born in 1909 or so. I think it was 1909 or so. Her name was Opal, but for me it was Mrs. Varbal. I looked her name up. By the way, friend, have you ever done this? I did not know when she died. I actually was just randomly looking up her husband. I couldn't figure that out. She died in the year 2007. She was 97 years old. You know what her obituary? It was just laying it out, nothing weird. Mrs. Varbal never lived in a palace. Mrs. Varbal couldn't drive. Her eyes were too bad. The number one thing I remember as a child is she had terrible eyes. She didn't drive later. But my friends, this is what they said. Up until the last 3 years of her life, up to age 94, she was serving people in places of helping people that had needs. 94. Then it listed her children. One of them is a pastor, or was, in Oklahoma. Then it listed her grandchildren. Then it listed her great-grandchildren. And I think, that's exactly what the text is saying. God's not going to make you rich. He's not going to give you. But you know what he will do? He will bless you in the places that count the most. What you do, your personal life, your marital life, your family, and that goes for a broader family when you're in church. Now, I'm going to say this and move on. When I come to church, do you know I look for certain people? My day, I shouldn't say this publicly, my Sunday is not complete until I hear these words. Something to the effect of, hello, Al Pastor. Al Pastor? Folks, that's marinated pork, which is the reason he calls me that. And then I always call him Taquito. You say, what does that mean? Nothing. It's just the banter and the relationships. Can I say this? What makes life worth living? How much stuff you have? And then you have to get old and have your children fight over it. I know 4 or 5 families right now, everybody's fighting over what they can't. Here it is. They can't wait till mom or dad die so they get the stuff. Here's the blessings of God. Personal life, work, marriage, children, grandchildren. And in my mother's case, I wanted to have this picture too. It's my mom. It's my sister. It's her children. It's Melanie's children. And it's Melanie's children's children. So it's daughter, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, great-great-grandchildren. My mother has 5 generations. Can I say you? I have the picture. Some of you have seen it. At Christmas time, you know what you get from mom? A big smile. Because she has a blessed life. Happy in life. Secondly, in your notes, blessed by God. By the way, this is the reason you go on the journey. Why would you go on this journey? You fear the Lord, you want to obey the Lord, and you know there are blessings because you go on the journey. Secondly, a different Hebrew word, not a lot of difference in meaning, but we are blessed by God. This is purely God blesses us. It doesn't really focus as much on the experience. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed. Barak is the Hebrew word that feareth the Lord. Verse 5, you have it again. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. You have the same, a little different form. Out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, or yes, thou shalt see thy children's children. Barak is the word that means to bless or to be blessed. We can bless the Lord in this sense. When we bless the Lord, We praise him and acknowledge him as the source of everything. But when God blesses us, it is just purely him pouring out his blessings on us. So Psalm 128 talks about both the happiness side and being blessed. Both Asheri and Barak. We get both sides of the picture. In your notes, now the psalmist moves from the experiences of the blessed life, which is happiness, to the source of the blessings. And friend, the source of all of our blessings come from the Lord. This is a psalm, so a lot of this, what are we going to say, is somewhat figurative or using metaphors. I mean, he's going to bless you out of Zion, those sorts of things. I already said this earlier. The King James Version makes these a promise. So in verse 7, it says, the Lord shall bless thee. That's a promise. And thou shalt see good. That's a promise. And verse 8, they shall see thy children's children. Again, the King James makes these a promise. Same Hebrew words. The ESV and other versions make these a prayer or a wish. So it's going to be, verse 5 is going to be something like, may the Lord bless you. And I'm not going to debate this, friend, because both of them are true, and they're true to the grammar. It's just the way you can translate it two different ways. So the King James Version makes these a promise. The ESV and others make these a prayer or a wish. You know, like I hate to say wish, it's probably too weak, but praying that God does this. Same verbs, and both choices are correct theologically and grammatically. Technically, in Hebrew, this is called a jussive. Here are my thoughts. The text is so beautiful. He says, behold, in verse 4, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So in your notes, we have no doubt about it. There is a sense that we can be assured that if you're one that fears the Lord and you're one that follows the Lord is going to bless you. That is no doubt about it. Next, not only is there no doubt about this, where did I go? Also, it's the Lord himself that shall bless you. So you're very clear that it's God blessing you. It's God giving you those things that he wants to give you. Obviously, next, it's out of Zion. Why Zion? How many of you in this room, raise your hand, live in Zion? Are there blessings out of Zion? By the way, we're not talking about a city. We're metaphorically talking about what happened in Zion. That was the place, metaphorically, that what? God dwelt. God dwelt in the temple. So they're simply saying, when you take the journey to Jerusalem, obeying the Lord, fulfilling the scripture, you fear the Lord, you're trying to keep the commandments of the Lord, you come here, God blesses you out of Zion. But God didn't dwell in Zion, folks, and he didn't dwell in the temple. But in one sense, that was the place that God manifested himself, and therefore God blesses us out of Zion, which would be his dwelling place. Now, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem in the future, the Lord will literally, physically reign from there. So that will be a center of blessings. Now, we look to the heavenly Jerusalem, but the ideas are the same. So there's no doubt the Lord himself is going to do this out of Zion, where God dwells, seeing good, and specifically the good of Jerusalem. But again, Jerusalem is used for the city, which was the capital, the place that God chose. But in the future, it will be the place he chooses again. So we have all of this coming together. Hebrews 12. But you are come unto Mount, this should be spelled Zion, Z-I-O-N. This is the Greek spelling, Sion. And unto the city of the living God. Right now, friend, believers, in one sense, come to Zion because God dwells in the heavens and we pray, we interact. That is the source and the center of the blessings. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bridegroom, a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. By the way, that's not now. This is future. So in one sense, we have this interplay. I have that in your notes. There's always an interplay for a Christian between Jerusalem, the ancient city, or the modern city, really, the heavenly Jerusalem, which if you're a believer, you already have access to that, and in the future, all of these are in our minds and hearts, and we receive blessings from the Lord out of Zion, the good of Jerusalem, in your notes. He says it's going to happen all the days of thy life, lifelong blessings, including children's children. Friends, have you been around old people? Jennifer, have you ever been around old people other than Tim? Are they all happy? Small percentage happy, big percentage, hard to know.
It's hard to know, but there's a lot of bitter people.
A lot of bitter people? Can I say this, friend? Everybody in this room, if the Lord doesn't come, you're going to get old. Does everybody agree with that? It's a beautiful thing when you see somebody, look at me, that's actually happy at the end of their days. And this psalm is talking about that. This psalm is not saying, oh, God's going to make you rich, God's going to prosper you, God has all that nonsense needs to stop. No, you're going to be happy, happy in life, blessed by God. Why? Because you fear the Lord, you follow the Lord, and in the process, not every piece of life, not every detail, but you meet these people and you look at me. If I take you to eat with my mother tomorrow, my mother 95% to 99% of the time is happy. And I meet a lot of people unhappy. Yes, Jennifer, bitter. Which one do you want? Take the journey. Go on the journey. Follow the Lord. Not every piece, but in general, in the big picture, you'll look back with happiness, knowing you have been blessed by God. That's what it is. And I think that's a beautiful thing. One man called it this. I don't know who said this first. He said it's called the spreading blessings. The blessings start small and they just spread out. They just spread out. They just spread out. Can I tell a story in 2 minutes and be done? My wife's mother was not a perfect woman. Look at me, everybody. In her family life, well, she lost her husband when she was 37. And her family, her mom and dad, were not believers. And from my reading the tea leaves, not a good family. But I'll say this about Jenny's mother. Not perfection. Nobody. If you hear that, run. But I went to the funeral. She had three daughters that were all believers. Are you listening? Three for three. Grandkids, most of them are believers. Vast majority. Even grandchildren. Can I say this? That's what God's talking about. He's not talking about perfection. He's not talking about wealth. This isn't wealth and health gospel. It comes to the end of the life, you look back, and this is what you do. You just smile at the goodness of God, and you have that happiness and those blessings, and you see them every place, not every piece, but in general, in the big picture. That's what the Lord's looking for. Well, lastly, peace. The shalom of God. By the way, it can either be a prayer or simply a statement. I think it's a statement. There's no verb for be, but if you translate the others, may, you have to translate that in the same way. We receive peace. You say, what's peace? The peace of God in one's life. I want to ask you a question. Do you know who goes on the journey? Look at me, please. Do you know why they go on the journey? Because they realize over time, They have a happy life. They have a blessed life. And they experience the peace of God in their existence. That's it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Koch.